So Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28. And then after that, Anna Freed is going to sing Living Hope to again help us to focus on the resurrection. So Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. That was absolutely lovely and a real blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to read again from John's Gospel this time, and we begin to read at verse 10 of John chapter 20. So John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. I want you to imagine this morning that you live in Rome, and it's the first century AD. And you hear in the streets great noise, great blasting of trumpets. And you run out to the streets to find out what's going on. And there before your eyes is the Roman army. It's just returned. And there behind the Roman army is the Roman government, or the politicians of the day. And there behind that is the Roman general in all his splendor riding in his chariot. For a great victory had been won. The Roman army had been out and had defeated the enemy. And the crowds were shouting and the trumpets were blowing and they were rejoicing in the great victory that had been won. And they shouted, "Triumph, triumph, triumph." And as you listen, you think about that great victory that the Roman army had won. But your mind goes to another great victory, because you're a Christian. And your mind went to another great victory that was won when 3 days after Jesus was put on the cross, God raised him from the dead. Triumph, triumph, triumph is what they cried. And we're going to sing later in our service, "Endless is the victory thou o'er death has won." What a victory Jesus won after the cross, what a victory he won on the cross, and what a great victory there was when he rose again from the dead. I want to take you this morning to one who was at the tomb and who knew what it was to meet the risen Lord. Her name was Mary Magdalene. Her birthplace was a place called Magdala, an ancient Jewish city on the bank of the Sea of Galilee. And Mary Magdalene had been at the cross and she had watched him there. She loved him. The scriptures tell us that he had cast out of her 7 demons in Luke chapter 8. What a glorious transformation Jesus had brought about in her life. It wasn't one demon, nor 2, nor 3, nor 4, nor 5, nor 6, but 7. What it must have been like for her to be indwelt by these demons. But Jesus had changed things for her. And she was at the cross. And here she is now at the tomb. And she had brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And all of that, when you think about those 7 demons, when you think about the spices that she brought, when you think of her at the cross seeing Jesus crucified, she just loved him. She just loved him. Remember Ella telling me of a friend that she got to know when she worked in the Royal Hospital. And this friend would just say, every day, I tell Jesus I love him. And it's a great thing to do, isn't it? Just to tell him that you love him. Of course, not only did he die on the cross, but he rose conquering death those 3 days later. Here are some things about Mary Magdalene. Here's the first thing. There was fear at the tomb. The angel said to the woman, don't be afraid. Now, if you say to somebody, don't be afraid, it means that they are afraid, doesn't it? And there has been an earthquake. Can you imagine that? Have you ever experienced an earthquake? I've never experienced an earthquake. Never want to experience an earthquake. Must be a terrifying thing. And a very violent earthquake it was at that in the Matthew's Gospel that we read earlier. Frightening. But there was not only an earthquake, there was an angel that came down from heaven. And it says that his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. Wouldn't that be frightening? You saw that. And it says that the guards shook and became as dead men. Those two things must have caused great fear. And they needed to hear those words, don't be afraid. And Mary needed to hear those words, don't be afraid. In verse 5 of chapter 28, that's what the angel said, do not be afraid. Fear can really disturb, can't it? Mary needed just to be reminded not to be afraid. Remember Peter Firth speaking about fear from this pulpit many years ago, speaking about fear in relation to Mary. And Peter said that the antidote to fear is faith. And what do you do whenever you're afraid? You need to look up. Need to remind yourself of one who's on the throne, who's one who's in control, and one who loves and cares and knows. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you just need to hear that. Maybe there's fear in your life as to what might happen. Might be the result of health tests, might be illness, might be family situation. Might be exam results, might be financial things, can be a whole host of things that cause fear. But we need to look up and we need to remind ourselves of one who's in control. There was fear at the tomb that day. And how many times in Matthew's, this account in Matthew's Gospel, do you read that? Fear. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid again. Verse 8, the woman hurried away, afraid yet filled with joy. Verse 5, we've read, do not be afraid. And the guards were so afraid. And do you see how it's peppered throughout the story? This fear that there was at the tomb. And Mary Magdalene was one who was there and who heard those words, don't be afraid. I've told you before about being on a visit to the Cliffs of Moher. Being on a boat
and being bounced around like I never was bounced around before on this boat. Ella was okay with it, but for me it wasn't a great experience. Fear. And what I had not got the hold of was that we were on deck down below. There was a guy who knew what he was about called the captain. And he was, I'm sure, had been on that sea so many times and knew what it was to take folk out and bring them back. But I couldn't see the captain. I just needed to get in my head that here was somebody who was in control of it all. And when you feel fear, that's what you need to do. So there was fear at the tomb. Here's the second thing about Mary Magdalene today. There were tears at the tomb. John 20 and verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, weeping, crying aloud. This was no quiet crying. No, this wasn't sobbing. This was audible weeping. And why was she weeping? Well, the angels asked this question. And Jesus, whom she thought was the gardener, asked this question. And her response was, they have taken Jesus' body away, and we don't know where they have laid him. I'm sure sorrow had come to Mary because of Jesus dying on the cross. But here, there's more than that. Here's another dimension. She couldn't find the body, and tears flowed. R. Kent Hughes says her heart was in indescribable anguish. Indescribable anguish. And here were tears that flowed. This week, I've been in some homes where tears have flowed. And there comes times in life, doesn't there, when tears flow. Maybe that's been you over this past while. Those awful events in Kilkeel over this past period of time have been so difficult and so distressing. Tears have flowed because of what has happened. And grief has come this week to our fellowship. And tears have flowed because of that. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe tears have flowed in your life. So there was fear at the tomb, there were tears at the tomb, but I want you to get this. I want us to get this morning. Third thing is there was comfort at the tomb with Mary. Look at what in John chapter 20, verse 16, what it says. Jesus said to her, Mary. Can you imagine that? Here's Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener. But in her confusion, in all her questions, in the sadness of a graveyard, in this garden, beside this garden tomb, and she weeps in her sorrow and her confusion, and Jesus says, Mary. How lovely is that? Just one word. Just her name. And she cries out, Rabboni, which means teacher. And her sorrow-filled world is transformed. She has seen the Lord. He's alive. That's what she says in verse 18. I have seen the Lord. And isn't it lovely whenever there are tears? Lovely when there are fears. Jesus comes alongside and is there to bring his comfort and his reassurance. The letter of Paul to the Corinthians reminds us that there is a God of all comfort. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it is, the word that's used there for comfort means one who comes alongside to help. And how lovely it is when Jesus comes alongside and is there beside us in the times of fear and in the times of tears. and he comes alongside. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will never be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. He is at my right hand. When the fears come and the tears come, where is he? Where's my right hand? There's my right hand. Where is he? He's at my right hand. And that isn't that a great truth just for us to get the hold of today? There have been so many things in this fellowship that people have had to face and endure over these past number of days. And in the fear-filled times and the tear-filled times, he's there at your right hand. And he draws alongside and he speaks your name. So fear at the tomb, tears at the tomb, comfort at the tomb, and then the risen Lord at the tomb. Going back again to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. What does it say? Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here. He is risen. Aren't those great words this Easter time? He is not here. That's what Mary heard. He is not here. He is risen. And what does Mary see? She goes and she sees the place where he lay, and she's to go and tell the disciples. That's what she heard. That's what she saw, an empty tomb. He is risen from the dead. Mary heard that, those glorious words. He is not here, he is risen. And she sees this empty tomb. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of an enemy, the last enemy, death. There were three phrases that we sung this morning. I don't know if you picked them up from that first song, See What a Morning. Do you know what it says? It says this: Christ, death is dead, the last enemy. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has risen. Those tremendous phrases. Did you get them? Death is dead, love has won, Christ has risen. And it says a battle, just like the Roman army. The battle that they faced against their enemies. Here is this last enemy, death, on the one side, and Christ on the other side, and this battle. And who has won the battle? Christ has won the battle when he rose triumphant over death. The last enemy is defeated. Christ is the conqueror. Death has been conquered. The word for victory in 1 Corinthians 15 is a word that you know. It's the word Nike, N-I-K-E. You know what Nike is? Yes, you do. Some of you might even be wearing them this morning, trainers or sports gear or whatever. Nike was the Greek god of victory. And so I suppose the idea is you get your trainers on and you win. Or you buy the t-shirt and you win. Or whatever. That's the idea. But here is this great victory that Paul wants the Corinthians to get the hold of. Here is a victory unlike any other victory. Here is the conqueror unlike any other conqueror. And the Roman army, when they went through the streets of Rome, they shouted, the people shouted, triumph, triumph, triumph. And this morning, when we think of the great victory that's been won over death, should we not shout triumph, triumph, triumph because of what Christ has done? Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I was reading that passage in 1 Corinthians 15 again. And it's interesting what it says about death. It likens it to a sting. Where death is your sting? You know what a sting is? A bee. bee has got a sting. And reading one of the commentators on this passage, he said, imagine you're in your back garden and here's this bee buzzing round your daughter. And you're sitting there and you see the danger that the daughter's in and you swat the bee away so that the bee doesn't sting your daughter. But in swatting the bee away, the bee stings you in the arm. And the commentator was saying, that's exactly what Christ did. The sting of death, he took it so that you and I might not have to take the sting of death. It's been taken by another. It's a great truth, isn't it? That's what Christ has done. Not only is death defeated in 1 Corinthians 15, but 1 Corinthians 15 also speaks of one day when these bodies will be transformed. This body I have will be transformed. That body you have will be transformed. And it says it will be changed. And it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. Just like that. Your body will be transformed, as will mine. Alistair Begg says, as long as it takes to blink. How long does it take for you to blink? Just that. And your body will be changed. Your body will be transformed and changed into glorious bodies. Imperishable instead of perishable. So much that we have is perishable, isn't it? But your body will be changed from being perishable to being imperishable. Your body will be changed from being mortal to being immortal. Mortality will be changed to immortality. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his power that enables him to bring everything under his control will, listen to this, transform your glorious bodies, transform your lowly bodies, so they will be like his glorious body. We're going to be like him, to have bodies like him, and it will happen like that. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ is risen, is what the song says. And what a future we have because of what happened at Calvary's cross and the glorious resurrection that happened 3 days later. And then, whenever your body is transformed to be like his glorious body, do you know what 1 Thessalonians says? You're going to be with him forever. And that's the great future that there is for those who are trusting in Christ and who will have their bodies transformed one day in the twinkling of an eye. So, as we come to an end this morning, here's these four things then about Mary of Magdala. Fear at the tomb, tears at the tomb, comfort at the tomb, but the risen Lord at the tomb as well. And just want to say three things this morning just for us to go away into this day rejoicing in these great truths. First of all, we should be joyful people, should we not? Mary was afraid, yet filled with joy, it says in verse 8 of Matthew 28, filled with joy. The word that's used there, filled with joy, really means great joy. It's the word that gives us mega, you know the word megastore. Great joy. They were afraid, yes, but filled with mega joy because he was alive. And today, should we not be people who are filled with mega joy because he is alive? And then the second thing I thought, we should be thankful people this Easter day. Thankful to God. It says, thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For death is dead, love is won, Christ is conquered. Should we not be thankful people because of what he has done and because we will have our bodies transformed and changed and we'll be with him forever? Should we not be thankful? Oh, yes, we should be thankful people. And then we should be hopeful people. The word hope, when it's used in Scripture, doesn't mean it's, I'm hoping it's not going to rain today. No, no, not at all. This means certainty, something that's certain. We should be people filled with the certainty that these bodies will be changed and will be with the Lord forever. I wonder this morning, have you met the risen Lord? I know many of you have. I don't mean physically, but I mean in your mind. Maybe there's been that time where you've asked him to forgive you and you've come to a place of peace with God and you've met the risen Lord and he's taken away your sin and he walks with you day by day and one day he'll take you to heaven to be with him for all eternity with that new body. And if that's happened for you, that's great, isn't it? Glorious place to be. But maybe it hasn't happened for you yet. Could happen today. And the risen Lord, whom we're speaking of this morning, who's here this morning, the risen Lord can forgive you and change you, transform you like he transformed Mary. And the risen Lord can promise that he will take you to be with him for all eternity. I hope that's the future that you have today. What a glorious future it is. And when you're forgiven, to be with the Lord forever. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. What did they shout in Roman times? Triumph, triumph, triumph.